Welcome to the Smart Marks Podcast, your weekly look into all things professional wrestling, no matter if it happens in a squared circle, a six-sided ring, or an Aztec temple. Here to lay the smackdown on your ear holes are your hosts, the Smart Marks, Matt Salgado and Jeremy Holman.
What is up, Smart Marks? It is your host, me, Mateo83, rocking it solo this week. Yes, it's just me. It's me, not DDP, but Mateo83. Follow me there on Twitter. That username, you can follow me, Mateo83, on Instagram as well, and TheMateo83 on Snapchat if you're into all that fun stuff. You can follow the Smart Marks at Smart_Marks, and you can follow JVader82 at just that name at Twitter, JVader82. Jeremy is not here this week because he got bones ripped out of his face this morning, and that is not a lie. That actually happened. Jeremy had to end up going to the dentist and having three teeth removed, and is in quite a bit of a pain, and he didn't want to actually cancel for the night. He was gonna go ahead and try to be on the show, but I went ahead and told him that it's probably not the best idea, although I do think it would have been hilarious to get his take of Extreme Rules while high on medication, and also try to solicit a couple of impressions out of him while he was high on whatever medication they were giving him. But I didn't want to exploit him that much, even though I should be exploiting him quite a bit, because quite frankly, you know, that's my job, is to exploit the talent. This is my podcast. I am the Vince McMahon of the Smart Marks Podcast, and I am here because I made this show. I'm here because I take full advantage of everybody that I have on the show. So we're going to rock it solo. We're just going to do some news and results from Extreme Rules, which happened this past Sunday. I thought it was fairly well. I did have some issues on the network actually watching Extreme Rules this week. This was the first time in a long time that I kept having issues, and it was really weird. I think the past couple of shows, maybe one or two pauses, but Extreme Rules throughout the whole night, up and down for me. Sent out a poll for you guys to vote in, and got a lot of votes. I was really surprised with it. I said, how was your Extreme Rules viewing experience? You can get the grades of A, B, C, D, or F. 41% gave it a B, so overwhelmingly positive. Positive feedback for Extreme Rules. I guess I'm the only one that maybe one of the few that actually had issues going into it. I did get an email, I believe it was Tuesday, the Tuesday after, and I usually get this email afterwards. I participate in the WWE fan feedback surveys, and if you ever get those emails, I highly suggest that you guys take full advantage of those emails and actually participate in them, because these polls are actually what helped start bring back the UK tournament and the Cruiserweight tournament. I mean, these polls kind of shape the future of what the WWE ends up putting on, not only just on the network, but just running with it and it ends up on Raw and SmackDown. So this is a great way to get your voice heard. There's always sections where you can write, you know, what your thoughts were, what your favorite parts were. And in each survey is maybe 5 minutes max. So if you guys ever get those emails, do them, because it'll greatly help out in the long run as far as what we think. So a lot of people chose B, 41%, D or F with 23%. So all over the board there for Extreme Rules, guys. But overall, I did enjoy the show. Let's get into some results, shall we? On the starting off with the prelims, we had Kalisto defeating Apollo Crews straight up in the singles match. I was really surprised to see Apollo Crews take the L on this one, but I guess I shouldn't really be surprised. He has teamed up with Titus right now, and that's kind of like a back and forth relationship going back with them, as far as, are we really working together? Are you just here to capitalize on me being the new guy and Apollo Crews, even though he's been there for over a year? But at least we're doing something with Apollo Crews. He kind of just floundered about for about a good year, and now he's back on Raw, and I feel like he could be utilized to a higher and more a better potential. I mean, the guy potential is through the roof for Apollo Crews. I mean, they just got to find something to do with him. That's all they got to do. And so Kalisto defeating Apollo Crews, and, you know, good on them for not just forgetting about Kalisto. Yeah, he had that quick feud with Braun Strowman, but that didn't deter any other push that's going on with them. And I feel like, let's throw Kalisto in this cruiserweight tournament, or in this cruiserweight division finally, you know. He's been on the main roster. Let's put him in it. Let's go for it. Overall, thought the match was okay. It was all right. The Miz with Maryse defeated Dean Ambrose, not by disqualification, but by pinfall, and is the 7-time Intercontinental Champion. Am I shocked that he won? No, not at all. I mean, I feel like they're probably going to have Miz. Miz is going to be the one that breaks the record, or at least ties it. I mean, the dude has another 10 years left him, at least. And you're going to tell me that he's not going to hold that Intercontinental Championship 3 more times? He should be holding that WWE Championship, or even the Universal Championship, just as that great heel that he is on Raw. And actually, I had said that Alexa Bliss was the top heel on Raw on Instagram, and somebody told me, well, you might want to tell The Miz that. I still feel Alexa Bliss is the top heel on Raw, but Miz is in a close second. If not, I mean, tied at first with Alexa Bliss. I just think Alexa Bliss had a little bit of a misstep, which it happens to The Miz every now and then, but I thought the celebration segment on Raw was genius. You know, we had the bear, we had the box, and classic, you know, Miz just thinking like, hey, I've seen this before. The guy dressed as the bear has to be Dean Ambrose. Gives him the skull crushing finale, and it's not Dean Ambrose. It's a poor indie guy just getting worked. And then, you know, the box. Oh, he's got to be in the box. He's in there. Oh, it turns out the grandfather clock that Maryse got for the Miz. And what was the most awkward and kind of like just gut-wrenching like run I had ever seen, not only just a person do, but a beautiful woman such as Maryse do, was kind of hard to watch. It's, if you guys didn't watch it and you don't want to go back to Raw, just imagine, close your eyes and imagine the run you do, like say you're at work or something and you have to go to the bathroom, and it's bad. And you just got to get to the restroom, and you're running, but you're running in a way where you don't want it to come out. So it's kind of like a controlled, I don't know, I'm holding back kind of a run. Yeah, just, I retweeted it. Go to the Twitter, look at it. I captioned it. So Miz, our new Intercontinental Champion, in a match that was 20 minutes flat, and, you know, pretty good match. Not going to lie, I really enjoyed it. Rich Swann and Sasha Banks defeated Noam Dar and Alicia Fox. Not much of this match other than it being a mixed tag team match. And really, it just flew by. I honestly don't remember anything from this match other than I know I watched it. I saw it happen. I heard the music, and it was over. So Rich Swann and Sasha Banks get the big win, which good for them because those two need a win, especially on a pay-per-view. Noam Dar and Alicia Fox are great people to work with and you know, and to put over as heels, but obviously Noam Dar and Alicia Fox are kind of just, you know, bit players at the moment, and they're just going to kind of be supporting characters, and that's what you need. Not everybody can be the star of the movie, not everybody can be the star of the show. You need those supporting characters, and I think Alicia Fox has been a great supporting character all these past years. I just wonder if we're ever going to get that breakout situation from her, for her to actually go towards the women's title once again. They did get a bit of a angle with her a couple years back, I think with, gosh, I want to say maybe Paige. Her and Paige were going at it quite a bit. But it looks like it hasn't really capitalized on the fact that, you know, she's a former Divas champion. So why not, you know, push her? I mean, we're stuck in this three-person, two-person title reign, and where we have a lot of talent on the Raw roster that could definitely take advantage of that. Alexa Bliss defeated Bayley, which was, I really surprised. This match only lasted 5 minutes. They gave her 5 minutes for the kendo stick on a pole match. The mixed tag team match, which was right before this, lasted 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes. 5 minutes and 10 seconds, Alexa Bliss and Bayley. We had this long, drawn-out storyline. You know, we had the horrible segment with This Is Your Life, which lasted who knows how long on Raw. And they gave them 5 minutes for this? You know, is this punishment because of the This Is My Life? But can you hold that against Alexa Bliss for not being able to pull that off? Because, one, she's given that script and she ran with it. And she did it, probably knowing it doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good. I feel bad. The 5 minutes, 10 seconds is a slap to the face. And I know that seeing that on paper and seeing that official timestamp there is weird. And I'm a little bit offended just for the simple fact that they only gave him 5 minutes for the championship match when all the men's matches lasted 10 minutes and over, at least. Cesaro and Sheamus defeated the Hardy Boys to win the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship in a steel cage match. Always ran into the problem, how the match ended was the problem I always ran into when I was in a tag team match on WWE 2K or WWE SmackDown or whatever. When you're in the tag, you're in the cage, and you climb out before your partner does. Especially if your partner's a CPU and you're leaving him in there against the other CPU, the other AI. And yeah, it sucks. Not that the match was bad. The match was great. I thought it was really great. They pulled it off very well. I'm glad that they played up the fact that, like, holy crap, you left him in there by himself. This probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. What I always thought they should do, and I still don't get, well, why? So, like, one guy gets out, and he should just let, or they should let one guy, like one of the, you know, if it's a babyface going up against a heel team, let one of the heel guys run out right away and just work the lone guy left in the cage when the other guy can't get back in. Now, Jeff Hardy did go back in, and, you know, that he basically restarted the match with him back in it, so if anybody climbs into the cage, are they automatically a competitor? I guess. Is that how that's going to work? That's just thoughts. I'm just wondering if that's what's going on. Neville defeated Austin Aries in a submission match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. This match lasted 17 minutes. Great back and forth match. I really enjoyed that match. I just don't get what they're doing with Austin Aries as far as, okay, he didn't win, and he had this crazy look on his face right after the match. What is going on? What is happening with Austin Aries? What are we going to do with this character? Is he not meant to win the Cruiserweight Championship? Is he meant to go for the Intercontinental Championship? Which, I would be more than happy if he did. I think a lot of the guys that end up in the Cruiserweight division could definitely be IC champions, just in general. And, I mean, I'm not knocking Neville's title reign, but you got a lot of talented Cruiserweights down there. And I felt for a while they were trying to get the title to as many guys as they could that they felt that deserved it. And if we're doing that, does Austin Aries not deserve that title? We had TJP, our first champion. Brian Kendrick, our second champion. Rich Swann was the third. And since then, it's been Neville. You know, those first couple months were pretty chaotic, pretty hectic. And Neville's kind of just thrown the hammer down and been like, you know what, I'm champ and I'm going to be champ for a long time. I don't even remember what pay-per-view was it where Neville became champ? I don't remember. Do you guys remember? And in our main event, shocking the world, my hopefully he wins pick. I think even Jeremy's pick. He wasn't our brain pick. He was the pick we wanted to win. But I felt Roman Reigns was going to win. And I think Jeremy felt Finn Balor was going to win. Samoa Joe is our new number one contender for the WWE Universal Championship that is held by Brock Lesnar, which will be defended in a month at Great Balls of Fire. Holy crap. I can't believe this is like a dream match that we get on WWE 2K, where you pit Samoa Joe against Brock Lesnar, because you know what? WWE's never going to book that. It looks great on paper. It sounds great talking about it. Will they be able to pull it off? Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar are two very different competitors. And they did play out the fact that, hey, they both have MMA backgrounds. And more so Lesnar, of course. And just for the simple fact that, hey, you know, this is going to be awesome. And maybe this is just a treat for the fans because this is a new pay-per-view. Great Balls of Fire. Great Balls of Fire in a month. Oh, my God. I didn't want to recap this pay-per-view alone, but I had to. And I want to know what Jeremy's take was. So maybe if he remembers, we'll get that take next week. But overall, positive experience watching Extreme Rules. I'm happy I watched it. I thought it was a good show. And, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy with the end product. And I thought they did a good job. Let's go into some news. That's right. I'm hitting the dirt sheets. I'm going to the website here and going to just look at a couple of things here and there. There's an article about talk about John Cena being accused of burying younger talent. John Cena recently did an interview with The Wrap. Here are the highlights on accusation that he buries young talent. Cena replied, "This is why I had the reputation of quote-unquote burying younger talent, because I will let them do whatever they want with me, and then after they get done, they're not as motivated," Cena remarked. "So it's not like I sink their ship, it's that they fail to operate at an elite level. I am on to the next person to whom I say, hey man, bring me your best punch, and I'm going to punch you back, and they don't take that attitude beyond me." What does that mean? That means that Cena says, hey, do your best. And they get all their good stuff out on Cena, and I've seen it happen. And it doesn't get applied to the next guy because that next guy is not John Cena. John Cena is saying, treat your next opponent like you're treating me. You know, you're giving me your best, give them your best. And we've seen a lot of guys come and go and not capitalize on the fact that, hey, you know, they've worked with Cena and supposedly Cena's not put them over. I've seen Cena put over plenty of guys. The idea that Cena is burying these guys is absurd, and I don't know. It's just, I think we're kind of over. I think that's probably just an older story that's still, for whatever reason, being passed around. But I feel like the idea that Cena buries younger talent is kind of dead and over with. Kind of just like this whole, like, we hate Cena thing. Like, people may be tired of Cena, but I don't think they hate Cena. And they have a respect for him as far as what he's done for WWE in all these years. And the fact that he pretty much helped keep this company afloat with his feuds. You know, you look at the top feuds for the past 10 years and he's feuded with everybody, whether it was Batista, Randy Orton, CM Punk, The Rock. You know, you look at who was consistent and who was there, and it was John Cena. And, you know, yeah, he's not as around as much. He's taking more time off, and rightfully so. The man should be able to. He should be able to go out and about and try new things. I mean, this is just, he does this. And, yeah, you're saying, oh, he's not here as much. But in reality, he's giving the chance to these guys that are younger on the roster. And, you know, SmackDown gets good ratings without John Cena. And when Cena's there, the ratings are even better. So he takes 3 months off. Let these guys have a great run. You know, guys like AJ Styles, Kevin Owens get to have great runs where it's focused on them and only them, because Cena's not there to, quote unquote, hog the spotlight, which I don't even think Cena even tries to do anymore. I think Cena's a great team player now. Like, for the past couple of years, he's been a great team player, and he's doing a great job at doing that and helping and teaching these younger guys, teaching them the ropes, basically. So pretty awesome on Cena's part. It looks like Lillian Garcia is back in WWE. There's a video of Lillian Garcia in Leeds, England at an NXT event. She showed up and sang the national anthem? What? Let's see what this is. is to sing the national anthem in Leeds. Wait, so did she sing the national anthem for England? Or did she sing the American national anthem? I don't get it. I'm lost, guys. What is happening? What is going on, guys? Cedric Alexander is back. He came back on 205 Live, was victorious over Noam Dar. Says he's on to bigger and better things, so look forward to that. Watched Lucha Underground last week. Holy crap. Did you guys not watch Lucha Underground? We had an all-night-long match between Johnny Mundo and the Mac, and it was just a drag-out bar fight. And it was awesome. Great match. We've been waiting 6 months for this match because it was the mid-season premiere. So the editing was a little off because at the very beginning of the show, they're talking about it happening 2 weeks ago, which I was like, oh, no, bad editing on this part. But I can't be too bad because it's Lucha Underground. I thought they did a great job. It was a great episode to come back on. And if you guys are watching Lucha Underground, keep watching Lucha Underground because it's awesome. So there's not a lot to talk about it, just sort of the simple fact that it was a great match. I loved the spot where the Mac was drinking beer and he got pumped up like Popeye, basically. He woke him up. He was out. He was laid out. And it was Son of Havoc poured beer on him. And basically woke him back up. So Great Balls of Fire. I talked about it briefly. And, guys, that logo for Great Balls of Fire, it looks like a dick and balls. I mean, let's just say it. It does. It doesn't look good. Sasha Banks was talking to a Twitter, and she was asked that the logo for WWE's Great Balls of Fire resembles male private parts. The logo has been the subject of a lot of jokes from fans on social media in the past week. You can actually see the exchange below. At Hunt Rampage tweeted at Sasha and said, "Do you think the Great Balls of Fire logo looks like a dick and balls?" To which Sasha Banks replied, "Yes." Short answer, yes. She I don't know who designed this logo, guys. Why? What happened? How did you let this get passed? Because it looks horrible. And I'm going to share that on the Facebook page, on the Twitter, so you guys can all see. Maybe I'll even do a Twitter poll and ask you guys what you think about it. We did get Lana back on SmackDown, and she was granted a women's championship match at Money in the Bank. So, guys, Lana, 2 weeks' time, she's going to be SmackDown champion. I'm calling it right now. I mean, I'm looking forward. They debuted on SmackDown. They debuted what the Money in the Bank briefcase looked like for the women's title, and it's awesome. Or for the women's Money in the Bank, it looks great. And I can't, dude. It's awesome. It's finally happening. Money in the Bank championship, not even Money in the Bank briefcase match with the women. It's awesome. I just, guys, this is great. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And I don't know what else to talk about. We did get a question from Alex. Alex wrote us on Facebook. I asked for if you guys have questions or comments for the show, you can always send them to us at smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. Again, that email, smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. You can also tweet us, smart_marks. Tweet us your questions. You can also write us on Facebook with your questions. Alex asked, and I'll get to it eventually because it's taking me forever to get here. Questions or comments for this week's show? Alex, ask away. Alex says, it's been rumored that the WWE is interested in signing Dalton Castle. Do you think that his flamboyant persona would get over on the main roster? Short answer, we did have somebody that was flamboyant, and his name was Tyler Breeze, and it hasn't worked out too well for him. I'd be interested to see if Dalton Castle is allowed to do that gimmick in WWE, because a lot of times what gets you over on the indies doesn't isn't allowed to allow them to get over on the main roster. And Patrick Clark right now. What is I'm drawing a blank, but he's debuting pretty much the same character. Wrestling and everybody copies each other, but his character is almost a direct ripoff of Dalton Castle. And you know, they wouldn't be able to do two at the same time. That's just, you know, and unfortunately Dalton Castle, you look at what's going on with Jack Gallagher and Marty Scurll. Marty Scurll he's been doing the umbrella gimmick for quite a while. Ever since he turned heel, he keeps just adding more things to his character. And I love Jack Gallagher, and I think he's done a great job at just being awesome, really. But why did you do the umbrella? That's kind of just... And they're both from the UK. Like, he knows about the umbrella. He's in progress. So, no. I don't think it would work on the main roster. I think it'll do great in NXT. And actually, I'm the Velveteen. What's it? The Velveteen something. But I think it'll get over in NXT. Anything's possible in NXT. On the main roster, it's a whole different story. And it's super hard to predict for Dalton Castle. But I do hope to see him soon. And if the rumors are true, we'll love to see him in WWE. I think he'd do a great job. We've seen Roddy Strong. I mean, he's getting a great push, and I think it's been great for him. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed with Dalton Castle. Hope he shows up in WWE sometime soon. PWG put out a new preview for their new DVD or Blu-ray, and it's called Head Like a Coal. I will share that on the Facebook as well because it is awesome and a lot of fun to watch. It's a PWG, and it's probably Adam Cole's last PWG that he's going to be able to participate in. He's still wrestling on Indies. He has a few days booked, I think the next couple weeks. And then who knows what happens. Maybe he shows up at SummerSlam. Maybe we don't see him till the Royal Rumble. Who knows? But I'm pretty sure he's going to enjoy the time off for a little bit because that guy was working everywhere for a second. It's a short show this week, guys. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. So on that note, remember, Marks, you can send us your questions or comments by following us on Twitter at @smart_marks. You're the mortal. Welcome to follow us on our personal accounts as well. You can follow me at Mateo83. You can follow Jeremy at JVader82. Like us on Facebook. There you can interact with us and other fans of the show. You can also follow us on Tumblr and Instagram. And if you hate social media altogether and want to ask a question, you can email us at smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. Again, that email is smartmarksquestions@gmail.com. If you guys shop through Amazon, please use our referral link at provengamer.com. There's absolutely no added cost. Just use the link, which shows that you're a fan of the show. And we'll get a little bit of help from Amazon to help keep the lights on. And remember, you can stream, download, and rate the show from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, ProvenGamer.com, and hopefully our iHeartRadio. I don't know if we're up, so if you guys see us on iHeartRadio, please let us know. Hey, be sure to give us that 5-star Frog Splash rating and leave a funny review that we can read on the show. Last week, me and Jeremy both said for you to cut a promo on us in iTunes or Stitcher, either one of those. But I'll let you guys know. If you do it in iTunes, we'll see it right away. And if you leave a review and give us 5 stars on iTunes, guys, that would mean the world to us. So if you listen to the show and you're here listening still right now, go to iTunes, guys, while you're listening. Hit your iTunes store on your device and write a quick funny review. Cut a promo on us. Tell us how you want to lay a smackdown on us. Call us jabronis, but give us that 5-star rating, please. While you're there, also at provengamer.com, you can check out some awesome game reviews and articles, and of course, the Trophy Horrors podcast. So make sure that provengamer.com is your one-stop shop for everything gaming and wrestling related. Thanks for listening, Marcus. Once again, I am Matt. Jeremy is not here, but you'll catch him next week on our Money in the Bank preview podcast. That's right, guys. We were back next week with another preview podcast. So we'll catch you guys next time on the Smart Marks. Peace out.